like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, and we're looking into the way that the Scripture teaches us about what God has in store for His children. But as it too that those that disobey and won't listen to Him, what He has in store for them. My friend, the world has gone, as someone said, gone down the road in a handbasket. I won't say what they say, but nevertheless, it's going astray. So we need to understand that we need to get in touch with God. Our society has gone so deep into the underworld until they got to where they worship things ungodly and do things ungodly. They're routing across in the world and saying they protest to get this done and that done, but it really is just a fulfillment of the Scriptures, and it's just because they want their way instead of letting God have His way. They want God to let them do what they want to do without any repercussion about it. But there's going to come a time, my friend, as He speaks about the rebellious will be punished in Isaiah 65th chapter in Isaiah. He will punish them, rebellious people. He's doing that with Israel. Rebelled against God in many ways. They even had Him crucified. They're suffering now because of all of theirs. Now, who in the world do you think you are, being a Gentile, that He broke them off to bring us in? Now, who do you think you can be above them and everything and do what you want to and do all these things? I don't think so, my friend. We need to get in touch with the Lord. We need to truly get down to business with Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. As He told the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well there, that the time would come to where they would worship God in spirit and in truth. You need to get the truth. You need to follow the truth and to worship God in spirit and truth. Truth is, God came in this world to save a wretch like you and I. He came and brought forth salvation to all that would believe and call upon His name. So now the thing of it is, it's up to you now. He paid for your sins, but it's up to you to repent and turn from your wicked ways. If you read in Chronicles, the 7th chapter, you will find it there that He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. This world is a sick place, my friend. It needs a genuine God-healing power to come forth and cleanse it. But it ain't going to do it by just sitting around doing nothing. We need to pray and fast and seek God. We all guilty. I'm putting myself in there. All is me too. We come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we do, and I believe it. But we need to get in touch with God. We need to come back to the place that we're in, that we first come to the altar, seeking after Him. When we first felt that rejuvenation from the Spirit and the power of God, we need to come back and follow hard after Him. It's time we woke up. The world is coming, going to hell in a handbasket, so to say, because of the sins and the corruption that's going on in the world today, that men are following after men's own ways and after the ways of sin and after lust and carrying on. We need to change that. We need to get in touch with God. So I just humbly ask you, pray and seek God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Give Him praise and honor. Read Isaiah, the 65th chapter, and find out what God has to say about that. But read your Bible. Find out what God is going to do to them that rebels, to them that will be obedient, and where that you can wind up to be. We'll get with that in a few minutes. But my wife's got something other here And it fits in just right with the way the world is today. So here's my wife. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the ones that have taken time out to send us a little million-dollar email. We don't ask for money, but those emails we get, you know, from the broadcast means more to us than if you were to send us $1 million. Because I'm not a material person. And I want to share with you hope for America. Do you believe that there is hope for America? That's the question many people are asking today. The question also is asked, if enough people fervently prayed, would God withhold judgment? We likely could say he's holding it now. Can we doubt America is worthy of God's judgment? It seems no matter where we base moral law, as we as individuals and as a nation have broken all of them. If you think of the Ten Commandments, we've broken all 10. We have countless gods in the first one, things we worship. And second one, we worship a host of man-made things. Three, we take God's name in vain. And even children do this while the parents think it's cute. And four, we keep no day of the week to rest, to worship, to remember God's creation, and give thanks to him. Five, we do not honor parents or those who are our elders. Six, we kill unborn babies through abortion. Seven, we commit adultery, pornography, and ungodly movies. We steal in countless ways. Nine, we lie under oath. 10, we covet, demonstrating greed and dissatisfaction with the needs we have. If we base God's moral law in what we call the Great Commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The second commandment, which is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and the golden rule, as you would that men should do to you, do even so to them likewise. We are still guilty on all counts, both individually and corporately. Still, God withholds his judgment, but we dare not count on that continuing, so we need to change. As Brother Compton said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. And seeking God's face. What does it mean to seek God's face? The scriptures say that no man can see the face of God and live. But there have been times when a few persons have seen the face of God. When Mary kissed her little baby Jesus, she kissed the face of God. There have been times when God appeared in some form or another that allowed people to experience God's presence with their natural senses. David said in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He wanted to be where God was, where his presence was felt, and God could be worshiped. People can now, and some of them do, they go to the mountains at the shore, cathedrals and churches in the Wildwood and many other places we can worship in silence, while listening to spiritual music, while praying, and in other ways. True worship happens when we focus our spirits and souls on God. And Jesus told the Samaritan woman that people must worship God in spirit and in truth. That God seeks people to worship him. Worship him in truth would relate to whom we worship. Many things are given the name God. Every religion of the world has a God. But unless we worship the true God, Jesus Christ, our worship is in vain. On Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul found an altar to the unknown God and started at that place to reveal God to those Greek people. We believe the Bible is God's word of revelation to mankind. The natural world gives us glimpses of God. The Old Testament shows more of Him, and the Old Testament is God concealed. The New Testament is God revealed. Jesus Christ is the fullest revelation we have of God. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come for any of us. So pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways and pray earnestly that America will be saved. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. My friend, as I mentioned about Isaiah chapter 65, he speaks there when Isaiah was talking about there when he said, I am sought by them that didn't ask for me not. I was found of them that sought not after me. He was speaking about the Gentile race, my friend. You see, Jesus, God chose the Jews to be his own people. And they were supposed to spread this good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel across the land. But they failed miserably. The 12 apostles there, and even to Paul, was given the dispensation of grace there to bring to the Gentiles. So it's by grace we're saved through faith in Jesus. My friend, if you call it upon another name, there's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. But many people today are looking in things that are worldly, and they are seeking after things that they don't really need, but they are worshiping their things that they have possession of or they call their own, such as maybe their mansion they're living in or their automobiles or wife or husband or their children or something other. But God is the only one that needs to be worshiped. Jesus came into this world to die for a sinner such as you and I. He let us know there when Isaiah was talking about there, and he said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought not me not. I said, behold me, behold me unto the nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all day and into a rebellious people which walk in the way that they was not good, after their own thoughts, a people which provoked me to anger continually into my face. They sacrificed in gardens and burdened incense upon altars of brick, which remained among the graves and lodged in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh. They both are the abominational things in their vessels, which said, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holy. Then these are the smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will recompense every recompense unto their bosoms, your iniquities and your iniquities of your fathers together. My friend, he's talking to the children of Israel. I love the people of Israel. God loves them too. He's not forsaken them, but they have got some punishment due to them because of the way they sinned before God. When God was trying to lead them into the way of righteousness, they rebelled in many times, and even when it got right down to it, they accepted Caesar, a man, a normal man, for their king. When Pilate asked him, he said, what will I do with your king, Jesus? We have no king except Caesar. Well, my friend, that was putting God completely out. And so they're suffering from it. They've been suffering for it for a long time. And there is this question about Daniel's talking about the 70th week. 69 weeks has passed, my friend, when Jesus was crucified. 69 weeks of that has been fulfilled. The 70th week is yet to come, and it's going to come, and it's going to wreak havoc with the Jewish people because they are rebellious against God. The Gentiles is the church of the living God. We thank God for knowingly that the church of the living God will be, whether it's Jew, Greek, or who, has been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and calling upon the name of the Lord and accepted him as their personal Savior. When that time comes when he takes his church from the face of the earth, there's going to be trouble, my friend, such as never been on the face of the earth since then, and will be no worse. But, my friend, it's come to the time that we need to seek the Lord. How many revivals? They talking about having revival in some of these here schools and things around about. I've seen some of it on TV, and looked to me like all it was a juke hall kind of a thing that they were doing, dancing and carrying on. But, my friend, a real, sure enough Holy Ghost revival would be a lot different from just getting up there and dancing and shaking yourself all over and everything. My friend, it's time that we got in touch with God. It's time we laid aside every weight that does so easily beset us and cry out to God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body, seeking after him and praising him with our, from the very essence of our soul, giving him all that we got, giving him our life and our soul. But the thing that's going on in the world today, people are sinning and they say they're Christian. The tree doesn't bear the fruit that they're claiming the tree should be bearing. If you're a Christian and you're going out there and doing things of the world and seeking after pleasures of the flesh and everything, you're not bringing forth fruits that needs to be as a Christian life. But many people today claims that they've been born again, and they go and do all kinds of things that's wrong. It doesn't work, my friends. God's going to be the final judgment. And these going around, they protesting this, they protesting that. Ain't a thing in the world but causing a routing around about, and they are throwing things and destroying people's property, even killing some people. It's all in the book, my friend, if you just read what the Bible has to say about these unsettled days that we're living in. The devil is out as a roaring lion seeking that he may devour. And he's devouring a lot of souls because they lend themselves to him and he uses them. Here not many days ago, the man said a voice told him to go and kill people. Well, the devil told him to do it and he went and acted on it and done it. My friend, the thing of it is that old devil, we call him, it's Satan, the Bible says, he's the god of this world, and there's a lot of people following after him and may or may not understand what his deal is. But I tell you what, if you don't call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and get repentance for your sins and you follow down that broad road of destruction, and fall headlong into hell, you're going to wish you'd have called upon the name of the Lord. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life eternal. The people that comes around that claims this and claims that, even to some of our government officials is upholding abortions and things like it ain't a thing in the world but a legalized murder. But God's going to hold them accountable.
Right.
God's going to reach out there when he reaches down and brings forth judgment upon all sin. Murder is a part of God's judgment is going to be upon them for killing unborn babies, not giving them a chance. The mothers, the doctors, the lawyers, and all them others that goes along is going to suffer the consequences if they don't change their ways and call upon the name of the Lord and repent. It's the law may let them get by, but I'll tell you one thing, my friend. When we stand before the Almighty God and you got sin in your life, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew. The Bible says there's no murderer that's going to inherit eternal life. And murder is murder any way you want to look at it, whether it's legal in the eyes of the law or not. It's not legal with God. He's destroying innocent babies. So mothers, be aware. When you stand before the Almighty God, when he says, depart from me, you'll fall headlong into hell and ain't nobody going to save you there. The only hope you've got now is to repent and stop your messing around with things that you had no business fooling with to start with. You just stay with your husband, or if you're not married, leave things alone and then you won't have to be worried about it. But nevertheless, God's going to call everyone into an answer for their sins and their deeds they've done in this life. It ain't going to get around it. It's all in the book, and it's going to be come forth when God makes his judgment upon the world. So when it comes to the place there, we need to understand that we were Gentiles. We wasn't even considered to be a people. We were under a curse of death without any hope till Jesus, God himself, came into this world to die for sinners such as you and I. We were lost without any hope, my friend. But when God came into the world there as a man, went to Calvary's cross and died for our sins, he gave us hope, which we had no hope. Our hope is in him. And if you don't call upon him and ask him to forgive you, your hope ain't going to do you no good. If you're hoping for being able to buy your way in or win your way in for all the medals you've won for this and that and one thing or another, you're going to present them to the God and say, look at him, what I've done in my life. I've won all these medals and everything. They should count for something. He's not interested in that, my friend. If you really find out the truth about it, he allowed you to accomplish that, but you're not giving him no credit for it. You think you done it on your own. But my friend, it's come to the time that you're going to have to wake up. When is the last time we really had a real sure enough Holy Ghost revival? It's been years, as I can see, and everything. I would love to be into one. But now these revivals, they come along and everything. I just don't think it's legitimately God's way of doing things. But nevertheless, it's better than nothing at all. But nothing at all is better than being lied about and doing things which ain't pleasing to God. But my friend, it's time that we need to wake up and realize. We need to understand that Isaiah 55:1-16, he said, in response to the prayers of the previous chapter, God spake to the Gentiles who had come to trust in him. I found of them that sought me not. Referred to the unconditionally elected of the Gentiles. As the book of the New Testament, Church of God, see Romans 10:20. While the Jews themselves are calling a rebellious people, God still promised to bring a seed out of Jacob. Mine elect. The language here is remained to Romans 11:1-5. When Paul hastened that God has not forsaken his people, Israel, he reprimanded the plant of Shiloh in the valley of Achor, blossoms abundantly. Look towards the prophecy. Israel will enjoy during the millennial kingdom. My friend, God hasn't forgot Israel, even though they've suffered much because of what they rebelled against him to his face and all. But he's keeping them, and he will bring them forth in the very end. When that time comes, when they call upon the name of the Lord, and they'll recognize him, and they might even say, where did you get those scars in your hands? He said, in the house of my friends. His friends is the one that had him crucified, my friend. The Gentiles nailed him to the cross, but they refused to have him as their king. When Pilate said, what will I do with your king? He said, crucify him. We have no king except Caesar. But they asked for a murderer and a thief in place of Jesus. Barabbas, he was a crook, but they would rather have them than they did the Messiah. So, my friend, it's open rebellion against God. But they are suffering, and they will until the Lord comes and cleanses it all out. All their iniquities and everything will be wiped out, and he'll receive them. But my friend, you got to be, as Gentiles, we got to call upon the Lord. We got to pray and seek after God, and with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body. You can't skip along and kick the can down the road, so to say, and say the grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient for all men, but you can't use grace for a crutch. and let do all your sins and everything that grace may abound. God, when Paul made mention about, shall we continue in our sins that grace may abound? God forbid. He called us to repentance, my friend. Repentance is the whole key to salvation. As long as you live in your own life, your own way, and in sin, because you're born in sin just like I was and shaped in iniquity, our deal was that we have to repent. And if you don't repent of your evil, crooked, sinful ways and ask God to forgive you, he's not going to arbitrarily forgive you. And when it comes time to usher you into the kingdom of God, it's not going to be that way. You can't buy your way in. There's no back door to go in at. You got to go in at the door. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So where are you going to go? It's either one way or the other. There's two ways. One way into the kingdom is a narrow way. The other way into hell is a broad way that leads to destruction. So which you want to travel? It's time to make up your mind, my friend, because time is running out. Jesus is coming soon. And if you're not ready to go when he comes, you ain't going to have that second chance. When the flood came, Noah warned them about the flood coming. Well, it never had rain before, and the people didn't believe him. But when the rain started to falling, they believed him then, but it was too late because the door of opportunity was closed. My friend, when that door of opportunity for salvation is closed and God withdraws his spirit from the face of the earth and the church is gone out, there's going to be trouble such as never was on the face of the earth. You don't want to be here at that time because there's going to be trouble around about you've never heard of before. There's enough of trouble going on now with people going down the road and somebody shooting them, going into the churches and shooting them, going into the schools and shooting them and all, and killing people just right and left. The devil is a roaring lion seeking that he may devour, and he's out doing his dirty work, my friend. But he's using people that will allow him to control them, and they doing the thing for him. That's the way it works. That's why he said he's devouring people, because the people are allowing him to possess them in such a way that they obey him and do his will. Just like what it is with God, if you obey him and do his will, he'll bring you to the place to where he said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's building the place. I wouldn't be surprised if that new heaven and new earth and that city of God is not already ready. He's just waiting on that final time that the last one would repent and turn. When he comes for his church, he's going to take his bride home. But when he comes back again on that white horse with his church following him on white horses, he's come to do battle because he's coming on a white horse. When he rode into Jerusalem there and they was hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, saved now, he come on the fold of an ass, which he come in peace. But my friend, when he comes back again on that white charging horse and his saints do follow him, he's come to do battle. And he's going to raise up and he's going to, by the sword of his mouth, he's going to wipe all this here ungodly stuff out from the government on down to the last sinner. He's going to do away with it. And all these people is coming against Israel and they think they're going to annihilate her. Oh, well, they can think again. That ain't going to happen. God's going to annihilate them because they are trying to kill his personal people. But I thank God for the Jewish nation. I try to help them when I can. I'm not a rich man, but some of these people there want to take up money to help the Jews. I don't know what they do with it, but some of them keeps about 90% and maybe 10% go what they take it up for. But nevertheless, they're going to have to face God about that. My friend, I just pray that God will reach out to you some way or another, that you will lend an ear to him, lend a thought to him, that he might touch your life in a way that you would repent and turn to him if you haven't already. And if you are born again Christian, baptized in his name, keep holding on. Keep praying. Hold on to the horns of the altar and keep praying. God's coming soon, and he's going to take his bride home with him, and it's going to be peace and joy with them. But it's going to be havoc here on the earth. My friend, we don't want to be here after the church is gone. But I encourage you, read your Bible. Find out what the Bible has to say about the things that are happening right now. The routing is going on. All kinds of sin and things are going on. Adultery and murder. And all these things are just a part of the world is going down the tube, so to say, because they will not listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel, and that's the apostle teachings and doctrine, what Jesus taught the apostles. You can go with all these other denominations and everything, but if they don't go with the what the scripture says, it's going to be lost. There ain't going to be no two ways. God said it was his way or no way. You ain't going to make it without going and being born again of the water and of the Spirit and receiving of the Holy Ghost. Without my Spirit, he said, without my Spirit, you are none of mine. Oh, my friend, I was talking about there that God told that bunch of Pharisees and there one time there when Jesus was standing there and told them, he says, he was questioning him about who he thought he was and who he was. He said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And I was at a church there, and they said, oh, we ain't gonna have that. We don't believe that. Well, nevertheless, I shook the dust and went on about my business. My friend, it's come time that we need to turn aside from this ungodly way. Seeking after the kingdom of God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body. Calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things that are happening around, but thank God for the one thing that we can rest assured of. After all and said, he said that he would punish a rebellious. He's going to punish them. He's going to take people that rebelled against him and all of his thoughts and everything and broke all of his commandments. And I don't say I'm perfect. Never have. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of his God. And I thank my God for that. Because without him, I can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. But my friend, it's come to the time to where in, the, as Dr. McGee used to say, the rubber hit the road. Well, the rubber's on the road, and it's time to put on the brakes of sin and sorrow and cheating and carrying on and get right with God. Turn from your wicked ways, as the Bible teaches. Turn from your wicked ways. Call upon the name of the Lord and repent, and he will bring you forth. It's the only way you're going to make it, my friend. Your money, your wealth, all of that kind of stuff will be done away with. Peter said the heavens would pass away and with a loud racket, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. So where's all your money going to be? It'll be burned up. Where's all your wealth going to be? The elements of the world would be burned up. But before that happens, my friend, we're going to go through some troubled times. But I thank God to know that there's coming a time when he's going to bring his church out of all this tribulations. We're not going to go into the wrath of God like many people are. But we're going to suffer some tribulations. And it's upon us now. We're having problems all right and left. But hold on to the horns of the altar. Keep praying. Hold on to the hem of the garment as the woman had the issue of blood. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. She did, and she was healed. But my friend, the only way you can be healed of your sins is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking to them that don't know him. Them that know him knows what I'm talking about. Repentance is that thing that we need to have in our minds, our heart, our friends and our loved ones that are lost. We encourage them to repent. Time's running out, my friend. The day of the Lord is at hand. It's even at the door. So what are you going to do if you wake up one morning and everything, all of your friends and loved ones that knows the Lord is gone and you left behind? It'd be bad. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want you to be left behind. But the only way we're going to make it is call upon the name of the Lord. repent and being forgiven of our sins and let God come into our life and we worship Him and praise and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our only hope is in Christ Jesus. Without Him, we'd have no hope. We were a nation that wasn't even called a people until He said in Isaiah, said, I was sought by Him. We sought after Him. If you could go back and read some of Paul's writing there, he went to the Gentiles, but he had to go to the Jew first. Peter had the keys. He had a key to the Samaritans, and the Jews and the Samaritans, which Jews and Gentiles mixed, and then to Cornelius, which was a Gentile. When he unlocked the door, the keys there, and brought forth, Peter went into Cornelius's house there and told him about the gospel and preached to him there of what they needed to do. That's what Cornelius was sent and wanted him to do. And when they began to tell him what they needed to do, the Spirit of God fell upon them and they spake in tongues. And Peter said, see here, can we refuse water unto them that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? How did he know they received it? Because he heard them speak in tongues. And a lot of these denominational churches don't even believe in it. They don't even have it. But my friend, it's a language that God gave His people, and they can pray in that language, prayer language. My friend, if you've never done it before, don't criticize it, because it's a wonderful feeling to know that the Spirit of God is in you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's time we woke up to reality and come to the realization that things are happening in this world and they're going to get worse. But thank God to know that there's going to come a time when we can really see the benefit of our salvation through Jesus Christ. Because He said, when He told him, He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My friend, He went to prepare that place. Sometimes I think it's already prepared, but nevertheless, I don't know. I haven't seen that new Jerusalem yet, but I believe that it's in the making. I believe that it will come down. As John said, I've seen new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her groom. My friend, it was a city, four square, 1,500 square miles any way you wanted to look, and it had 12 gates and all 12 foundations. And it was a beautiful place. And in it was the tree of life. And oh, my friend, it's something to look forward to. But you can't make it without you repent. Living in a godly life. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I don't know is it any. But one time when God spoke about Job being perfect, but he was tested, my friend. And he went through the test. And you're going to go through the test. When Job went through the test of all of that, and his friends turned against him and thought he had done something wrong, but he hadn't done nothing wrong. It was testing time. My friend, we're in a testing time now. We're tried. Our faith has been tried. And when it comes forth, and if we stand forth with the Lord, and we come forth as a bright and morning star in the sight of God, and when He comes forth, we'll be ushered into that place He gone to prepare for us. Oh, it'll be a glorious time. But my friend, you've got to repent. You can't get into the kingdom of God with your sins hanging all over you. Adulteries, murder, and stealing, and whatever else. Lying and cheating and carrying on. Homosexuals and this and everything. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Steve and Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve, and when they sinned, He killed a female and a male animal and gave them clothes to wear. And when He entered in, when Noah built the ark, He let them go in two by two, male and female. He brought them forth. He created the male and the female, and it was to replenish the earth. This homosexual business and everything is going to be done away with when God shows up. When He comes, that all that there, and they stand, this is the way God made me. No, my friend, that ain't right. That's the devil that the Bible says He'd turn them over to. They'd believe a lie, and He'd turn them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie, and they'd be damned. And that's a lie that out of the pits of hell, when men and men and women say, this is the way God made me. No, my friend, he didn't do that. My friend, it's come to the time that we need to get it right. You will suffer the consequences for your deeds you've done in this life, whether it is good or bad. And that's a bad deed. And I don't believe that God's going to allow any of that stuff to go into his kingdom, regardless of what the devil may have told you. Oh, my friend, it's time that we need to get right. It's time that we need to pray and seek the face of God. But now the time is coming when there will be a time when the things will be come to an end in this world, in this life, and when it be all the torment and everything over. Isaiah even penned about the thing, as well as John in Revelation. Isaiah in the 65th chapter in the 17th verse, we said, a new heaven and a new earth. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But ye glad and rejoice, for even in that which I created. For behold, I create Jerusalem a joy, rejoice, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Think about it, my friend. We have hurts in this world. We lose our friends, our loved ones, and so on and so forth in different things. And we mourn them. But then when that new Jerusalem and that new heaven and that new earth, that'll all be done away with. There'll be no more mourning and the dead and everything. Because we'll have life eternal. Oh, my friend, it's time that we got it right. If you want to enjoy this here benefits of this new heaven and new earth, you need to repent. I pray that God will touch the lives of people all around throughout under the sound of my voice, wherever it goes to. And we do appreciate those that have wrote to us. I do definitely appreciate it. My wife said it's worth $1 million. I don't know. If you could put a price on it, I guess it might be, but nevertheless, it makes me feel good to know that someone out there is listening, whether it's one or two, or they write to us. I appreciate it and thank you for it. And I pray that God will bless you as he has blessed us and help you that we can prosper in the grace of God and in the glory of God. And when we come to that place of stand before the Lord, when we can stand there together and he say, well done, my faithful servants, enter in. I hope you be there. I want you to be. I want to be there. By the grace of God, I'm going to make it. But we need to call upon the name of the Lord. Revival is something other that's, you can mention it to some of the congregations around in places where I've been in several times here recently, and talk about having revival, they look at you like you're stupid. Turn away from you. They don't want revival. They don't want God. They just got a slipshod way claiming this, but they got no evidence of it because it's But God said that if they lukewarm, he'd spew you out of the mouth. And evidently that's maybe some of the way some of them are. But I just thank God to know that he is on the throne. He's looking down and he searches the rims of our heart. He knows us from our inside out and outside in, our lying down and our rising up. He knows all about us from day one to the final day that we leave this planet Earth, when death sees over us. My friend, he knows us from the beginning to the end. There's nothing there that he don't know about. He knows your life from the day you was born. He knew the day you was going to be born. And no doubt he knowed what they was going to name you. I ain't no doubt in my mind that he knew what they would be called. But my friend, he knows everything. Nothing is getting by him. He's never, ever going to say, oops, that got by me, because he knows the beginning from the end and all in the middle. He had it put in the book that what we need to go by, and if we go by that, we can enter in. But if we fail to follow in his footsteps and walk in the way of the gospel and let him lead us into the way of righteousness for his name's sake, if we don't be led by him and we fall by the wayside, it's going to be too wet behind the barn to plow, so to say. But hell's going to be as enlarged itself to receive them that wants to go, according to the word of God. But my friend, it's time. You don't have to go to hell. It wasn't prepared for the people. It was prepared for the devil and his angel. But it's got to where so many wanted to go till it enlarged itself, because so many people are going there every day, that probably some loses out simply because of unbelief. Unbelief is sin, my friend, and ain't no sin going to enter into the kingdom of God. It just absolutely, sin is sin, and it may be unbelief. You might not believe in this, and but unbelief in the word of God and in the God of creation is sin, my friend. You may not believe that I'm who I say I am, but that's all right. But you better believe who God said he was and believe in him, because that's going to make the difference. Whether you believe me or not, you believe him. It's immaterial. But if you don't believe what I'm saying, that's all right. But God knows my life and he knows yours. So we're all going to stand before him. And I want you and I to hear him say, well done, welcome in. I want to hear that myself. I hope you do too. My friend, it's time that we need to understand that God is sovereign. He can get without us. He can do without us, but we need him. I don't know. He existed way before until he created the heavens and the earth. I don't know how long it was eternally. He said in the beginning was God. When the beginning was, I don't know how long he existed before he created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. But nevertheless, he can do without you and I, but we can't do without him. If we do, we're going to be lost. We need him. I need him desperately. And I pray God to help me that I can press on toward the mark of the high call. I pray for the people under the sound of my voice that God will touch your life in a way that it would bring you forth and repentance. If you don't know him, you become to know him. If you know him, hold on, my friend. Time is running out. Jesus is coming soon. We not got long to wait. Not like it used to be. I've been in this old world for almost 90 years since I came in to be. But my friend, I've seen some changes made, some good, some bad, and it seems it's getting worse all the time. But I thank my God to know that there is a better day coming. And when Jesus comes to claim his bride and he takes his bride home and he comes back with the white horses and with his church and does away with all the rebellions, all sin and corruption, and puts an end to it, and it casts them out, and he set up his kingdom of righteousness. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how much longer I got to go, but nevertheless, I've lived to be 100. That's all right, or until the Lord comes, whichever comes first, it's all right with me. But I just thank God for his mercy and his love and his grace. I thank him for his salvation, for what he's done for me. I thank him for each and every one of you that have wrote to us and said, we heard you. And some of them said, we enjoyed it. One wanted to use their broadcast as a Bible study. That's perfectly all right. As long as you use it in the way that it should be, believe in the gospel. My friend, it's the only way we're going to make it is following after the Lord Jesus Christ, as the apostles did. They followed him. We had one there that Judas, he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. There's a lot of Judases in this world. And they selling out for maybe for less than 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver back in those days was, I guess, quite a bit of money. But some people just sell out because they want to commit adultery or something other like that, or get drunk and do all kinds of things and sin today, when all they need to do is repent, walk in the light of the gospel, praising God and giving him praise and honor, serving him with our whole soul, mind, and body, giving him praise, seeking after the kingdom of God with all that is within us, praying daily, and looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. My friend, we can't make it without Jesus. Regardless of what all you may have in this world, it'll all go up in smoke. But what you got in Christ Jesus will stand and will usher you into the kingdom of God for eternal life. That's what I'm looking for. Live forever without any aches and hurts, no arthritis and no sickness and no crying, no weeping. And oh, my friend, it'll be a glorious time. I pray that God will help us that we can make it. I hope you can make it. I just pray that God will touch the lives of the people that are under the sound of my voice, bless them and keep them by his grace, and help us all, oh Lord, when we join into that place and stand before the Almighty God in the presence of our Lord and Savior, we can hear him say, "Welcome in." That's what I'm looking forward to, my friend. There's a bema seat of Christ where we stand before him and get rewarded for what we've done in this life for him. But there's a white throne judgment where the death, hell, and the grave is going to be called up, and they're going to be judged. And if these book will be opened, and they'll judged out of that, then another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And if the name is not into that, they'll be cast into hell, which is the second death. My friend, get right with the Lord. If you don't know him, call upon him before it's too late. I encourage you, seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Pray and ask God to forgive you. Seek him and give praise unto him. Write to us if you will. We'd appreciate your letters and your as you write to us. And it encourages us, and by whole desire is to encourage you to hold on. Jesus is coming soon, and when he comes and takes his church home, it'll be over for that, but there's others going to be left behind, as it was in the flood, and they were destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah was burned up to the core. Fire and brimstone fell upon it, and it burned it up. Three got out, four left, but when Lot's wife turned and looked, she turned to a pillar of salt, according to the scriptures. Him and his two daughters got out. My friend, it's going to be nip and tuck, you might say. If the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? They'll be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. My friends, seek after the Lord with your whole heart. Pray. Write to us if you will. We appreciate it. And God bless you and keep you. Until next time, may God richly bless you and keep you and supply your every need, spiritually, physically, and financially. But you got to seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. Be prepared to go when he calls or when he comes, and whichever be come. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers. You pray one for another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. May God bless you.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus, to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus, He took time for you. Sometime you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. Took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.